In the name of the triune God, the baptized one, the descending dove, the voice of love. Amen. I'm not going to start my sermon with a joke today. I recently heard a comedian say that the biggest joke of all is God. God is a joke, according to this comedian, because kids have cancer. And an all-powerful God wouldn't let that happen. God should be able to prevent such undeserved pain. Hearing that lament always cuts deep. And this time it struck me because it came from a comedian. That's coming from my former profession. Not one that's known for having a lot of empathy. So I was excited to invite this comedian into my new profession of empathy. And to add to his list, why stop at kids with cancer? Why not adults as well? Why not stop refugees from starving at our borders and in war lands? Or people freezing to death in their own homes. Or the bomb cyclone in California this past week, which claimed one life reportedly when a tree fell on an infant. Wouldn't an all-powerful God be able to move that tree just a little bit? The problem with this perspective is that we equate power with control. The ability to influence and manipulate and force an outcome to result in one's will. That's the power of this world, the earthly power, the power of economics and empire, of politics and oppression, of war and violence. The idea that power comes from control is exactly the type of thinking that Jesus comes to upend. For God, power is equated with love. The ability to love you. Each and every one of us, God knows us intimately, personally, passionately, and loves us. And it's amazing power because God can love every single one of us more deeper and wider and faster than we can even imagine or understand. And that's where God's power comes into our life. When these bad things happen, these tragedies and traumas that break our hearts and confound our mind, God is the first to cry. Whatever empathy we think we have when we hear these sad stories, when they happen to us in our lives, to our very loved ones, God has more, so much more, because we can never fully know what it's like to be someone else. No one fully understands the pain and heartaches that each of us bear. And we can't, even for the ones that we love so much and hold so dearly in our hearts, we can never walk that road. I know St. Cross and all of you have big hearts, and how much you would give to be able to relieve the pain that some of us are journeying with. And you can't. We never can. That's not our job. That would make us God. It's God's job to have that kind of love and empathy that cuts to our very core. When we hear these sad stories that cut us open and break us open, God goes right in there, right to the core, right to the very point of that heartbreak. And God enters that pain with love and blesses it. The brokenness of this world can overwhelm us, and our desire to control the chaos can so easily be misconstrued as a desire for God. But God doesn't come with quick fixes, and God doesn't come to save us from these hardships, but rather God comes to us amidst our chaos to love us, and God enters into our chaos, and God fully immerses ourselves, and shall I say, baptizes himself in it, into our lives, fully baptizing Jesus into the chaos and swirling, murky waters of hopes and hurts and fears and tears. Jesus enters into that point, the very deepest well, and blesses it and redeems the chaos. You may recall that God spoke into chaos during creation, and God speaking into that swirling chaos formed creation, and God deemed it good. And Jesus is here now, coming to us into the chaos, and Jesus is deeming it good. That's what we mean when we say Jesus is our redeemer. He's deeming it again good. That's what's going on in today's gospel. Jesus comes to John and asks to be baptized. Now, John the Baptist he knows who Jesus is. He's known since he was in the womb. So he understands the spiritual hierarchy that John is not the one who was foretold, but John is the one who foretells the one to come. He knows his place in the spiritual hierarchy, and his expectation is that Jesus would come and sanctify him by restoring him or anointing him, or something would happen that Jesus would be the one to baptize John. But that's not how this works. Jesus comes to John to be baptized that he might be in relationship with him and enter into his life in those waters in the Jordan River. For Jesus, baptism is not about cleansing of sins, because Jesus knew no sin. And that's not what's happening for Jesus. We're not washing away his sins. And I'm sorry to say to the parents of the children who we're baptizing today, that your children after baptism will be the same rambunctious, joy-filled toddlers that you had yesterday. Jesus doesn't come to be baptized in order to prove that he's God, because John already knew that, and followers were already amassing. And Jesus doesn't come to be baptized as some kind of initiation rite into his ministry, because Jesus has been fulfilling his earthly ministry since before he was born. Jesus comes to be baptized that he may fully enter into the murky waters of our lives. Now, the fancy gospel way to say that, according to the text today, is this phrase, fulfill all righteousness. And that's a confusing phrase. But that's why we have the Old Testament, because in Isaiah, that phrase of righteousness comes up again. And the phrase that follows it is that God takes us by the hand and keeps us, is in relationship with us, wraps us in God's everlasting eternal love. That's what it means to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus is coming into our lives to fulfill all righteousness, to be the living presence of God's desire to be in covenant relationship with God's people. In today's gospel, our model for how to live out our faith might be found in John. John had to consent. John consented to this upside-down holy thinking. that Jesus comes to be baptized by us, and that by receiving Jesus into his life, by baptizing Jesus with the waters of his community, of his life, John was able to see God, to see Jesus as God, and to see God in God's full glory as the descending dove and the voice from above proclaiming love. And furthermore, John was able to see himself as the baptizer, fulfilling his will that God put in him and the role that he was to play. So as we celebrate Jesus' baptism today, Jesus comes to you asking you to baptize him. With what waters will you baptize Jesus? The waters of your very tears. Tears flow from those places of joy and grief that we hold so tenderly. Tears of awe or sorrow. Tears come when we encounter those things in life that we care so deeply about, that make us who we are. And Jesus wants to enter into those places and be fully immersed in those tears of joy and pain, of peace or sorrow. Whatever you bring, Jesus immerses himself and asks you to baptize him with our waters, our tears. Jesus is with us, right to the very core, to the core of who we are. Jesus enters those tender places of our lives to bless it and call it good, to remind us that God redeems, that God deemed us good, and Jesus redeems us. As you leave today, I invite you to dip your fingers into the font and touch the baptismal water. And as you do, think about your waters, the things that have made you cry and broken your heart wide open. And know that Jesus cries with you. Jesus shares your joy. Jesus shares your sorrow. Jesus can share all of it, the whole wide range of beautiful emotions that God gave us. Then I invite you to touch your own forehead, and may the wetness of your fingers remind you, you are God's beloved. In you, God is well pleased. Amen.